This is the Trade Radio podcast for NAB, proudly footifying Australia since 2002.
Chris, welcome to NAB Trade Radio and welcome to official start of trade period.
No, thanks very much. I appreciate it. It's a big introduction, but unfortunately, we're probably going to be a bit quiet. So I've just hosed that down a bit, haven't I?
Hey, first question, I guess, Luke McFarlane, where does he sit going forward? You expect him to play in 2015?
Yeah, we do. And he's certainly got his head around the fact of doing that. Look, there's been a lot of talk about him being 33 in December. So we're very conscious of a lot of work and rigour going around the physical side of things with him, but knowing Luke as long as we do and just held in such high regard, a lot of it's the mental side of it, and he's committed to be in, and I'm sure we'll finalise that in the next week or so.
Been so close for 3 years now, Bondi, obviously a grand final 2 years ago. Where have you and Ross Lyon sat down and identified, if we want to take the next step, we want to win a premiership, what sort of players do we need to get into our football club?
Yeah, Brownie, look, we've had a real strong focus on the draft for a period of time, and we're not going to shirk away from that. You know, even in this year's team, the growth of our third year players has been really significant. Cam Sutcliffe, Lachie Neal, Hayden Crozier towards the end of the year, Lee Spur, all third year players, three drafted players and rookie list players. We'll continue to do that. We've got options of whether that's continuing to work hard to get better draft picks that will enable us to get players and talent into it as well. But free agency has been a big part of what we've done as well. The last 2 years we've been able to secure that with Daniel Pearce and Colin Sylvia. Daniel's been a terrific acquisition to the team, and Colin's had an interrupted year in regards to injury, but he's here on a 3 year deal, and we expect the last 2 years to get some real progress.
What about young Tabiner? We don't see a lot of your young guys over there, and as you know, at a footy club, when you watch him day to day or you watch him in the waffle, you can see special qualities. Tell us about him and possibly being the replacement to Matthew Pavlich in the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's a really good call, Brown. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I reckon it slipped under a lot of people's guards. He's a second year player. He was a rookie list player. He came down, was asked to come over, and our recruiting guys, Brad Lloyd and Wolsey and the guys, said, come over, have a bit of a training run for a couple of weeks, and we were just impressed by the size of the bloke, of how well he could run. Obviously, going through the tapes and speaking to some more people, Stan Magro from Perth had actually coached him before, and his work ethic was enormous. Now, he put on, you know, second year, he's put 8-9 kilos on. He's one of our best runners already. He works really hard, and he's got a real appetite to learn, and there's no better coaching structure, we feel, under Ross and the guys to learn. So he's improved enormously, but we still think, you know, he's, as you would know with Keith Forbes, he's 3, 4, 5 years away from his best football.
Yeah, he spoke on Pearce and Silver in the last 2 years, but been linked, I guess, to Mitch Clark many years ago, obviously Travis Cloak, Jack Riewoldt, James Frawley again this year. What is it, do you think, that makes it a little bit difficult to nab that real high-priced free agent?
Well, look, certainly the names you've said are right. I mean, Aaron Black is somebody, and Mitch Clark are people that we certainly put some time into. Look, and the others, I appreciate the fact that we more or less get thrown in with everybody else at the moment. But certainly there are some, it's a very valid point. There's some players that we've had and tried to get over, especially through the free agency period, but also we have the capabilities and we will trade if it's the right person that fits into our environment. But we're also really conscious of the fact of it's a sustained success model that we want to do. So we're not just going to sell the farm for a player that's going to have a huge impact on our TPP and a huge impact in regards to our young talent moving forward, but we also understand that we've got holes in our list like everybody else, and we'll move to find the best player to do that.
One half of this trade period is obviously trying to attract players into your club. You've had a massive, I guess, battle on your hands to keep Nate Fyfe at your club. Tell us what that's been like and what the conversations have been like. I mean, you'd hate to lose a player like that. He's re-signed and he's very happy.
Yeah, he is, Brownie. And look, he's obviously a huge talent. We understand that. But he's also a great person. He's also somebody who's got outstanding leadership qualities. And we think that he's going to be just a long-term player at our club, you know, and being really hold together that group. I've talked about that third year players, those 4 or 5 years players, the players we drafted in 2008, Ballantyne, Walters, Clark, Subin, Hill, these types of guys as well. He's going to be able to really work with those guys as well, and we feel that he's going to have a huge future, and he wants to be here, which is great.
What was Brownlow night like for yourself and Fremantle fans when Nat Fyfe still had the most votes going into that last round? Was it what was the feeling amongst, you know, yourself in the hierarchy?
Oh, look, from our end, he couldn't win it. Mm-hmm. So I think it would have been, you know, we knew he had an outstanding mm-hmm. year. We know that he history shows that he polls votes as well. But
were you hoping that Pritis went by him, so he wasn't forever tagged as
really.
The man?
No, not really, because, you know, we as a football club move on and we deal with that, and so would Nat. Nat and I had some really good conversations during the course of the year about his couple of tribunal appearances. So, look, we've moved on. We've got our head around about that. You know, we've sort of moved on and making sure, like Brownie said, we're trying to add to our list and making sure that we can improve.
Try to get a big time forward, as Cam said before, Frawley, Waite, obviously Jack Riewoldt a couple of years ago, Travis Cloak, Fremantle had a crack at. If someone like a Sam Reed became available from Sydney, people have been talking about maybe he might because he's been squeezed out by the three other big tools there. Is that an option for Fremantle to go after?
Yeah, look, we've do a lot of work in regards to our pro scouting and monitoring all players. And key forwards, key backs are certainly players that we've spoken about in the past, especially with players, you know, like Pavlich and McFarlane and Aaron and so forth, getting towards the end of their careers. So we're not an ad hoc football club. We don't just grab at anything that moves. There's been a lot of work that's put in. And at the end of the day, we look at all areas that we think could improve our list, and certainly that type of player would.
In today's day and age, is it, I guess, almost more important to be able to get a swingman, Harry Taylor, the perfect example, a guy who can play a little bit forward but probably go back as well, in consideration with the guys like Pavlich and McFarlane, who are of, an older age?
Yeah, I think the versatility of a player is really important. I think you'll find that with young players coming through in the national draft, their ability, that height of, you know, 192, the 190 mark of where can they go, can they play a third tall, have they got the running capacity to play that high forward? And we've got 190, 191 midfielders as well. So the versatility of players is enormous for us, and we certainly take that consideration when we go into our list, and we have with our midfield makeup. And you'll notice that Fife and Barlow and Mundy and even Morabito before he was injured are all that bigger type midfielders that have got the ability later in their careers to move positions.
Hey, were you impressed with how well Walters came back after his injury? He's out for a long time, and like any player, it takes a little bit of time to come in and play your best football. It's like he hit the ground unbelievably running as a big tick to your fitness staff.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, but I was really in awe of the work that he did. I think history, and Ross has been on the record, our club's been on the record talking about his story and what he's done and how he's gone about it. He was in that 2008 draft. He was a pick in the 50s. You know, he was one of the eight national draft players that we took. And he's a big future of our football club as well. His work ethic is second to none. You know, he's a young player who's really decided a couple of years ago, a few years ago under Ross, that this is where direction he wants to take his football, his family, give his family the best opportunity to go. I can't speak highly enough of him.
Ben Howlett, a rumoured to be possibly on the move. Are you interested in the Essendon midfielder?
No, we haven't spoken about it.
Mitch Clark, obviously, a month ago came back up. Ross Lyon made some comments, and there was a little bit of a disagreement in the media via Mitch Clark's manager and Ross Lyon, but did you ever at all think about trying to have another crack at the big fella?
No, look, not really. From our point of view, we really wish Mitch all the best. A few years ago, we certainly were really involved with Colin Young and him as well, in regards to making sure that we could do everything we could to get him at his club. It didn't work. You know, we kept in contact with Mitch throughout, just through a couple of injuries that he had, to wish him all the best. But from our point of view, he's moved on. It looks like it's Geelong, and we wish him all the best.
Hey, take us behind closed doors of today. I mean, there's obviously a lot of big egos in football, and when you're discussing other players from other clubs, does it ever get not nasty, but a little bit backwards and forwards? How does it, like it was out in the field, you know, someone push and shove? Does that ever happen out the back? Obviously not a push and shove.
No, I never pushed and shoved.
No, you just whacked me.
No, please, you're too good for me. No, not really. I mean, personally, I've been lucky enough to be in it a fair while, and I think you learn, as you do when you're a player, when you're young and enthusiastic, you learn, certainly in these areas as well. When you've been in the industry, I've been in it 25 years, and so you get to know a lot of people. There are a lot of great people involved in this industry, and as long as everyone's upfront and fair, I think it all works out.
You're assistant coach and now football manager. I mean, what... obviously a massive difference between the two, but do you miss getting out in the field? Do you miss the coaching part of it?
I don't now. I certainly, that initial transition I did, some of the greatest memories I've got of people I've been involved with, especially at the Western Bulldogs when a lot of us were there, some great people involved with there, and some really good friends in regards to that you have, and that relationship that you have as a coach, assistant coach with players. It's a different relationship. I think as a coach... you know, there was a lot of players who wanted to come into your office. As a general manager of football, there's a lot of players who don't want to come into your office. So, but from my end, look, we are involved with a fantastic group of players at Freo, a great group of people in our organisation. It starts at the top. I think we've got strong leadership. Ross and our coaches work hard as anyone I've seen in the environment as well, and we've got a great leadership group. So we're doing everything I can to add.
Is Zach Clark on the trade table?
No.
So he's a required player?
That's right.
Cool, perfect, mate. We appreciate your time as always. In fact, before we leave, there'll be clubs, obviously, where you have nothing to talk about. What do you talk about when you go into the room and you got nothing to say?
Well, we just cover everything from, you know, the tyranny of distance to Perth, how long the flight takes to, you know, what we're going to do, where we're going to have a feed tonight. That's
beautiful.
About it.
So. Mate, we appreciate your time. No doubt a very busy period, even though you might not be as active as some other clubs. But good luck, and something might pop up for Fremantle fans, and we'll see how it goes.
Thanks, guys.